Good day. This is Karen Sharp, host of Love Songs on Coast 103.5, and I'm here talking with composer Philip Weston. Philip, you're the composer of a brand new opera named Marie's Orchard, and the premiere performance will be produced by Center Stage Opera June 10th and 12th. We are so excited to see it. Welcome, Philip.
Hi, Karen. It's really nice to be here.
Now, what is your training? What is your education in music? Have you always known that you wanted to be a musician or composer? What is your instrument?
Well, I went to USC, where I received two Bachelor of Music degrees, composition and church and choral music, and the master's degree in composition. I began piano lessons at age 6 and always knew that I was a composer. I've always heard music in my head. In fact, until recently, I believed everyone heard music in their head. I now believe that typically people hear music in their head that's already written rather than new original music. To master the various forms of composition, I also did a lot of conducting, orchestral, choral, and wind ensemble groups, all at both the college and university level and also at the professional level. I was particularly blessed with my two most important composition teachers, Ingolf Dahl and Roy Harris. Each brought an entire world of insight and experience to the craft, and they couldn't have been more divergent in their various views, which I believe was a major advantage to me.
What method do you use in writing your music or your operas?
I take a pretty methodical approach, grounded, of course, in the training I received at USC and with Roy Harris. In opera and operetta, I typically begin with melodic writing, setting the text of the aria, duet, recit, etc. I find it's particularly important to keep the long view of the piece in mind as I write in such a large form as an opera. The key for me is the libretto. Here's where I was very lucky with Marie's Orchard. Dylan wrote a fabulous, wonderful libretto. His arias and duets are poetic, and for that matter, often poetry. His recitatives are prose, often with multiple layers of meaning. His words instantly gave me musical images as I wrote the opera.
Have you always used this method to write down what you hear?
Well, yes. As I said earlier, I've always heard music in my head, so it's a matter of simply getting what's in my head down on paper. Of course, when I went to USC and wrote a lot of music, including writing a number of commissions for various people and organizations, I did it the quote-unquote old-fashioned way, with score paper and a pencil sitting at a piano. Now, the computer has vastly improved the process in terms of instant feedback.
How do you define music?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Well, I define music as an emotional language.
Is this in keeping with your training or your education?
No, that's definitely not what I was taught at USC, at least when I attended in the 60s. Most USC composition faculty members at that time defined music as organized sound. Now, I went with that definition for a long time. However, I've chosen to change my view to what works better for me, which is to think of music as conveying ideas, thoughts, through the emotional medium we call music. For me, this gets directly at the communication necessities inherent in composition. I find that this works for me for all types of music, such as, say, an orchestral piece. However, it's particularly true when one thinks about composing an opera. From the first note to the last, I'm interested in communicating directly with the audience on an emotional level as the story unfolds. Take Marie's Orchard, for example. The story is full of all kinds of emotions, so I felt it important to convey all of those emotions. My music in the opera is really very romantic in that sense. It contains melodies that the audience will remember and sing as they leave the theater. There are fun moments, a wedding with a feast, a bar scene where everyone's whooping it up, very passionate love music, and a scene where Frank basically loses his mind. And, of course, the ending.
In this age of pop rap music, modern operas seem to have little or no melodies and often include great emphasis on dissonance, what some call nails on a chalkboard. Other music relies on seemingly endless repeated phrases and or looped sounds. Why did you choose to write an opera with well-defined melodies to an old-fashioned love story?
Well, first of all, I was drawn to the story itself, which is a subplot in Willa Cather's novel, O Pioneers. I grew up in Oklahoma and Kansas, so the Midwestern setting in Nebraska in the 1890s in Cather's novel was very easy for me to grasp. The social settings, such as a wedding celebration, church gatherings, partying, and the deep interpersonal commitments are ingrained into my psyche. In terms of the melodic content, as I said before, I believe that the purpose of music is to communicate, to connect with the audience. And in my opinion, there's no better way to connect with people through music than through melodic expression.
These days, it seems as if money for concerts is going to the huge, well-staged electronic productions, and young people don't attend operas. So opera audiences tend to be older people. Do you think it was a waste of your time to write an opera?
Oh, not at all. I chose to write Marie's Orchard because I was drawn to the setting and the story. Then, after I read Dylan's wonderful libretto, I simply had to write the piece. Your comment about the aging audience in the opera world is troublesome. My wife and I attend a lot of opera productions, and certainly we don't seem to see a lot of the younger crowd in attendance. I think that's very unfortunate. Young adults who don't attend opera don't realize what they're missing. It may be that a lot of opera is sung in its original language, which of course means a lot of performances in Italian, French, German, etc. But with the advent of supertitles, that concern is unfounded.
How do you get your inspirations for your melodies? And how long does it take to complete a song? Do you see a mental picture of a particular person or type of person singing your song?
Well, the melodies come from the text. It really doesn't take too long to write an aria or a duet, at least in terms of the melodic content, harmonic structure and orchestration, etc. And yes, I do have mental pictures of the person or people singing various arias, duets, ensemble pieces, etc. It was fun writing Marie's Orchard because I was constantly thinking about how Shiro will sing a particular musical phrase or how the tenor, baritone, etc. would capture a specific dramatic moment. And I had a ball writing the bar scene where a bunch of Nebraska guys are having a good time carousing around with a bunch of whores. So yes, I tend to live each moment in the opera that I'm composing.
When you write melody, do you hear a particular instrument? Do you write the melody and set it for piano and then orchestrate it later?
Well, when I hear the music, it's fully scored in my head. It's always been that way. Therefore, I write the piece or scene or whatever directly in full orchestration. Sometimes I hear an instrument that's not available to me. For example, in Marie's Orchard, the pit area for the orchestra is quite small, so I'm limited to fewer instruments than I'd normally prefer. But that's just a matter of adjusting to the specific instruments at my disposal and working within those constraints. I was once asked to write a piece for a singer and orchestra and score it for piano first, later to be orchestrated. I found that to be extremely difficult because I found that I wrote piano music rather than write music for a violin section or a melody for an English horn solo, which is how I hear it.
Do aspects of nature, such as birds singing, wind, rain, have an influence on your music?
Well, indirectly, yes, of course. I think most composers are closely aligned with nature in one way or the other. After all, the process of producing music is one involved with the physics of nature, sounds with overtones. That said, I rarely try to imitate nature as some composers do. I find that nature's natural sounds are wonderful in themselves and don't necessarily translate directly into a composed piece of music. There are, of course, some exceptions. A couple of years ago, I received a commission from an orchestra to write a piece to introduce children to the orchestra. The result, Timothy and the Magic Garden, had places where, due to the story, I included birds chirping and even a couple of frogs.
You have had extensive academic training and executive experiences in your life. Does that affect the sounds that you create? Do your good or bad experiences come through in your music?
Of course. My music is me. I think that's true of most composers. When you know their music, you know them. I've been lucky enough to have had wonderful moments in my life, as well as some times that I'd prefer to forget. And those life experiences undoubtedly come out in my music. When I wrote the scene in Act Two of Marie's Orchard where Frank loses his mind, I found it helpful to focus on a particular, how should I say, not so good experience. And when I wrote Emile's big love aria in Act Two, Scene One, I simply thought of the love of my life, my wife, Felicia.
Your father was a minister and you were raised in a spiritual home. What do you take from that spirituality?
Yes, my father was a Presbyterian minister. He also had a PhD in psychology and worked in both the church and secular counseling environment, helping people. Music, to me, embodies much spirituality. Obviously, I'm not talking here about any particular dogma. Music is being connected to interpersonal relationships, life, love, and yes, other less noble emotions, such as hate and anger. I find the spiritual aspects of music to be transcending.
How would you describe your working relationships with Shira Renee Thomas and Dylan F. Thomas, Brian Onderdonk, and the Center Stage Opera?
I was very lucky to be involved with Shira, Dylan, Brian, and CSO. Both Shira and Dylan participated in a recording of my operetta Heartland, so I had the opportunity to work with and get to know each of them. Then, when Heartland was performed for the ASCAP Disney Musical Theater Workshop at Disney Studios, Shira and Dylan sang as well, and Brian conducted the performances. In fact, it was Shira and Dylan who approached me to write Marie's Orchard, with Dylan's writing of the libretto. This has proved to be a wonderful partnership, for as I wrote various sections of the opera, I could get feedback from Shira, Brian, and or Dylan, as well as some other singers in the cast. And I'm indeed fortunate that Center Stage Opera is producing the piece. It's a huge undertaking on their part, not only involving obvious matters such as securing talent, having rehearsals, dealing with costs, etc., but doing all this for an opera that's never been produced.
Philip, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I think we've all learned a little something about composing music and the world of opera, and we all look forward to seeing the premiere of Marie's Orchard, June 10th and 12th. And for tickets, everyone can go to centerstageopera.org. Philip, thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.